In this episode, we're going to be talking about prerequisites. What are they? What prerequisites are most dental schools going to require? And also some details about just what kind of ways you can go about getting those prerequisites.
Listening to the Smart Dental Student, your source for information regarding dental school and your professional journey, with your hosts Matt Manley and Landon Guy.
So today, Landon, what are prerequisites?
So prerequisite classes are basically the classes or of certain topics that are required by dental schools in order for you to even pretty much be considered to be, or basically to be allowed to matriculate into the school. So most schools are going to require general chemistry with a lab, organic chemistry with a lab, biology, general biology with a lab, anatomy and physiology with a lab, and then physics with a lab as well.
And that's two semesters of all of those.
Yes.
Right. So
yes.
It's one academic year of general chemistry, organic chemistry, general biology, anatomy, physiology, and physics all with a lab. Mm,
correct. And there are some schools that are going to require more science classes on top of that, like biochemistry, microbiology. There's going to be statistics and calculus and math classes like that. But schools are also going to typically have their English and math requirements as well.
And some of those classes, they, like you mentioned, calculus, biochem, statistics, microbio. I know for me when I was applying that some of the schools that I was looking at had those as being potentially a recommended course, not a required course, but it kind of sets you apart in your application process. I remember for UNC at the time, biochemistry wasn't required and neither was statistics, but I had those. And so having those kind of helped, you know, differentiate my application a little bit. But I also remember some schools that I wanted to apply to required calculus, and I did not have calculus, and I wasn't about to go back and take more prerequisites. From your perspective, were there any schools? I know that UNC was kind of the one for you that you really wanted to get into. Was there any schools out there that that you considered taking? I'm assuming you had microbio because you're a biology major.
So I never took microbiology.
Did not? Okay.
That's one class I did not take.
Did you feel like there was any schools out there that you were like, well, I'm applying to this, or I want to apply to this school, but they require X prerequisite? How did you feel about that?
So with me, I pretty much applied to schools that fit the classes that I took.
You already taken.
And being a biology major allowed me to take pretty much all the prerequisites for almost every dental school. But then there's some that did have the microbiology. And one, for example, I can think of is Michigan. And I marked that off the list.
Did you have calculus?
I did have calculus.
You did? Man.
Yeah, I took two semesters of calculus, actually. That was
proud of
you. That was, well, I ended up getting AP credit for the first calculus, and then I took second level calculus, which was the most failed class at UNC my very first semester. And that was not a smart move. I passed the class, but it was not a very smart move at all. But I took it nonetheless. So I didn't have to worry about that prerequisite. But UNC did require that you either take stats or you take calculus. And that was a requirement, I think, of, if I'm not mistaken, of everyone to graduate. That's for UNC undergrad, not UNC dental school.
Okay.
Specifically, I wanted to clarify that.
But at least not currently.
Yes, at least. Yes. And so Michigan, like I mentioned, was a case of where I saw what they required, and it was microbiology. and at least the, so I didn't apply there the first time around. And the second time around, after already being done with undergrad, I knew for a fact I was marking them off the list, because then I really would have had no opportunity to take it before I would have matriculated, if that makes sense.
And that kind of brings up the main point of prerequisites in general is you want to know what the school requires out of you before you apply, right? So
absolutely.
The schools that you were looking at, how did you even know what prerequisites they required?
So
how did you find that out?
So for me, I looked up on the school's website and found out what they required. And that was kind of the main guide by which I went through. But I did check in specifically. I remember a certain case of when I called East Carolina asking about the requirements and stuff. So do as I say, not as I do, in the sense that I would strongly encourage you to build a relationship, or not necessarily build a relationship, but have good communication with
the schools you're looking to apply to.
Exactly. That way you can catch wind if these prerequisites are changing over time, because you never know. The school may not update their website as regularly as, you know, an average company updates their website, right? So you can't solely rely on the website to get your information, because things change flippantly. And I found this out because I had communications with someone on faculty at UNC, and he was telling me it was in the woodworks that UNC is eventually going to require microbiology in soon, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. So it's, I know for me, that was one of the big things too, is reaching out. It wasn't just looking at the website. It was also reaching out to the admissions team. I was kind of lazy. I reached out to the admissions team and I included my CV and my, transcripts, unofficial transcripts or whatever. And I had that and my shadow log. I had a shadow and, volunteer log, and I sent that, I emailed that to him and I said, "Hey, I'm very interested in your school. Can you review this and tell me if you think I'd be a good applicant, or what can I do to improve to be a good applicant for your school?" And that's hard sometimes. Sometimes schools don't want you to do that. It's very hard to kind of figure that out. You just kind of have to reach out and see how they want to communicate with you. Most of the schools that I reached out to gave me a response. Some schools said, "We don't do that. So you just look at their website and figure it out." But that was very few. There were only a few schools that I applied to. I applied to 15 schools, and out of the 15, I'd say probably about five said, "Yeah, we don't do that." And you go look at the website and figure it out for yourself, kind of thing. But the other schools were very helpful in saying, "You know, this looks good. You might want to consider this. You might want to consider." And I got mixed messages from some schools. Some schools said I needed more volunteer hours. Some schools said I needed more shadowing. Some schools said that, I should consider taking microbio, even though their school didn't say on the website that it was encouraged. So you kind of have to do a little bit of digging to find out what kind of school is going to line up with where you're at. And so knowing what those prerequisites are for the school is number one. And the best way, like you said, to find that out is to reach out to them. I even sent coffee cards to a couple of the admissions teams that helped me out. Cause I was like, "You know, you helped me out so much. Here's like a $5 Starbucks card. Thank you so much for your help." Like that, you know, and that wasn't, I wasn't trying to make an inappropriate gesture. What I was trying to do there was let them know that I really did appreciate their help. And that was something I did even as a project manager, is if my team worked really hard on something or helped me out in a way, I'd get them coffee cards. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a behavior of mine. Some people could have read that wrong, but the people that received the cards were very grateful and, mm-hmm. you know, but in no way did I think that was going to impact how I was perceived as an applicant.
So for you as someone who took a different track to get to dental school, what were you told in regards to prerequisite classes, like where you had to take them? I know there are some schools that say different things, but in your experience, what were you told and why did you choose the post-bac program that you did instead of taking like classes online, mm-hmm. for instance?
So that was kind of the beauty of my software business degree was I could do it all online. Mm-hmm. It was coding. So it's like, oh, guess what? You can code online. Woo-hoo. So mm-hmm. that's what I did. I did a lot of coding and I did a lot of business. I could, you know, you can do accounting from home. You don't have to be mm-hmm. in a class running experiments on a balance sheet. So a lot of my degree was done at home. I had the luxury of working full time while mm-hmm. doing school, but with these STEM hard science kind of, you know, if you want to call it that, getting into physics, getting into math, getting into some of the more, you know, things that required a lab, like organic chemistries, it's very rare that you'll find a school that says, you know, yeah, just do that online. There are some schools that will accept that. But the majority of schools are going to say, get it from a 4-year brick and mortar physical university. Mm-hmm. And you want to check the accreditation. You don't want to just go with anybody who calls themselves a university mm-hmm. or anybody that calls themselves a college. You want to check for their accreditation. You want to be sure. What I did too was I even reached out to the schools that I wanted to apply to, like UNC mm-hmm. and ECU. And I said, hey, I'm considering prerequisites from Meredith College. Mm-hmm. Would you accept them? And they said, yes, we will accept those. And so for me, that was a green light to say, okay, fine, I'm going to go do them here. Mm-hmm. And so I knocked them out. There was one school that was like, you know, if you take microbio, what we'll do is we'll mail you a kit and you can do lab experiments at your house, which I thought was cool. I was mm-hmm. like, hey, this is the future of education, right? Like I don't have to physically be in another lab with, you know, 30 people doing something I can do in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. Not that I want to be messing with streptococcus or anything in my kitchen.
Bacteria all over your kitchen, but I mean,
it's probably in my kitchen already, but you know what I mean? The sitting down and being like, okay, the school will accept these prerequisites. So that was kind of mm-hmm. the choice. I even did consider going and trying to get, Gen Chem 1, Gen Chem 2 from like a community college. Mm-hmm. However, I noticed that a lot of schools limited how many credit hours they would accept from mm-hmm. a community college. And being that my degree was mostly completed online, including the post-bac credits, I graduated. I have a total of about 280 undergraduate credits. Mm-hmm. Oh, so, wow. You know, it was more than I needed for any kind of undergraduate degree, but there was a lot of repeat classes. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of liberal arts. There was a lot of online. Mm-hmm. And for the, and they weren't the prerequisite that I needed. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want for someone to look at my transcript and say, wow, we've noticed you got all this online school. We noticed that you have a lot of repeat courses. And oh, by the way, we noticed you got some more community college mm-hmm. and or this over here. So for me, I was like, I need to have these at a 4-year brick and mortar mm-hmm. physical location. That may not be the case for somebody who, you know, is able to get a few of those classes done through a community college and, mm-hmm. and not jeopardize their ability to get into a dental school. But the majority of schools that I saw favored 4-year institution prerequisites.
And going back to the topic that we mentioned before, that's why it's important to really reach out to the schools that you're interested in and see what they prefer, or if it's okay to take a certain number of community college classes, or does it need to be in person, or, you know, because potentially COVID could have changed things to where
yes.
it's more accepting of online courses, and these 4-year schools realize that, oh, you can still learn just as much online. And because, heck, you know, our first year of dental school was pretty much online. And mm-hmm. we're.
Can you learn physics, you know, online? Mm-hmm. You know, can you do physics experiments at home?
Exactly.
And I think COVID definitely made education more agile mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, we had to adapt and learn new ways of learning. Mm-hmm. So some schools may be more open to that. And again, it, like you said, it's a matter of knowing the admissions, the desires of that admissions team, and mm-hmm. knowing that these schools that I'm applying to, are they going to look favorably on the prereqs that I take, or are they going to kind of nitpick mm-hmm. at the prerequisites I take? So knowing how, and the other thing too, I would consider is when you're looking at taking prerequisites, organize them in such a way that you're not crushing yourself when exactly. you take them. Mm-hmm. So when you're taking prerequisites, kind of like you said with calculus two, right? Mm-hmm. Two, like take them in a way that's going to set you up for success and not like pummel you into the ground.
And I'm guilty of that. I did that multiple times in semesters. I just took way too difficult of courses. Taking 3 science classes in 1 semester was pummeling to me. And so, yeah, try to space it out a little bit better if you can. You will thank yourself later.
The other thing that is important to consider with prerequisites is to familiarize yourself with people who are attending those dental schools. Now, mm-hmm. they're not going to know all the time the cutting edge of what's going to be required for the next application cycle, right? Because mm-hmm. they're too busy doing their own dental school work. But a lot of times they're going to be able to give insight into what their path was, what they chose for prerequisites. You know, we talked about it a little bit before. UNC has a program called Bridging the Gap, where mm-hmm. we reach out to pre-dental students and work with kind of helping them, almost like a mentor-mentee program, mm-hmm. Pairing them up with dental students and kind of giving them someone to talk to. And so that's something we would encourage is, if someone's looking to get into dental school, surround yourself with people that can kind of inform you to the best of their ability of how mm-hmm. they got into dental school, how their, you know, how their path went. And some people you're going to relate better mm-hmm. with than others.
For sure.
But it doesn't hurt. Like, I remember when I was looking for prerequisites, I talked with some people and they said, well, you know, you could go to this school, but it was like an hour and a half away from my house and it was cheaper. But the way that it was structured was you sat in a class with like 200 other students and you're just vying for position with, you know, your Gen Chem GPA. And I was like, no, I need to sit in a class of like 20. And that's what I got out of Meredith College mm-hmm. The cohort that I was a part of was very focused. They called it a pre-health program, but it was primarily for med school. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the professors were teaching toward the MCAT. And so, I was fortunate to be able to sit in those classes mm-hmm. and get kind of the MCAT level of education so that when my peers went and sat for the MCAT, I had kind of a good grasp of what we were going to talk about in the DAT to some extent.
Yeah. I feel like what kind of builds on top of that is being in a position where you do have smaller class sizes, it helped really facilitate good relationships with your professors.
Yes.
And for me, coming from a background of UNC undergrad in Chapel Hill, our class sizes, at least mine,
tended to be
larger. Very large. So it was hard to build relationships with professors. And you never know when, you know, by building a relationship with a professor, when they can help you out in terms of grades. You know, mm-hmm. if you're on the line, but they see the work you put in, you go to them constantly for help, and you just build a little relationship with them, and don't see them or don't go to them just when it's demanding and mm-hmm. you see them as a means to an end, but just building a relationship with them could help really, honestly, yeah. can really help you out.
It can. So, anecdotal evidence, when I was doing my first prereq, once I decided to go to dental school, biology one, my wife was getting ready to go to the hospital. We're about to have our first child. And I emailed the professor and was like, "Hey, we're about to have a baby." You know, this was probably a week or two out. And I was like, "Hey, we're going to have a child around this date. You know, I'm going to try my best to get everything I need done. Mm-hmm. Please let me know if there's anything that, that I need to do to, you know, I'm going to try my best to get all my homework done before these dates." And I ended up completely spacing on my fourth exam. I completely forgot that it was that day because you had to go to a testing center, sit, take the test. And I completely spaced. It wasn't until the next morning that I woke up, looked at my calendar, saw it, and I was like, "Oh my, like, oof." I just remember being like, "I'm not going to dental school. Like, this is, I have just missed an exam." Mm. And thankfully, the professor was very kind. I emailed her as soon as I realized it. I said, "I'm so sorry. I meant no disrespect. This was completely a slip of on my part. And I completely forgot, you know, as you know, my wife's getting ready to have the baby. I dropped the ball." And she was like, "You know what? That's okay. We'll schedule it for Monday." And I just remember being like, almost in tears, like, mm-hmm. "Oh my gosh, like, I now have another opportunity to do sufficient in this course." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had the baby. Oh, that was the day we had the baby. That Monday, went in, took the exam, and went straight from there to the hospital.
There you go.
And had the baby. And so, maintaining and fostering an appropriate, healthy relationship with your professor is key to completing your prereqs in a way that's mm-hmm. going to set you up well as a candidate for dental school.
To further this conversation, I know there's some of you out there who didn't do too well in a particular class, and you're posed with the question of whether you should retake a class or not. Well, I can definitely speak to this. I mentioned in a different episode that I really struggled with first level chemistry my very first semester of college, and I almost reached a breaking point with that. But I ended up getting a C minus in the class, and which was good enough for me to continue my major and continue on to the next classes. But kind of tying this together, this is why it's important to reach out to the admissions committees or reach out to the particular schools you're interested in applying to. Because I picked up the phone, called one of the schools I was applying to, and asked, "Do you take C minuses from for your prerequisite classes?" Because I'm like, "Well, that's in the C range. You said C or above." Mm-hmm. And they're like, "No, we need a
C or above.
So I was like, "Well, that stinks." But if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have been able to plan in time to retake the course. So I ended up retaking it the fall of my senior year of college and ended up doing fine in it. And here I am today in dental school. So know that even though it sucks to have to retake a class and it's not fun, either you're going to have to retake it during the summer or for a traditional applicant or add it to your semester schedule like I did. Thankfully, I was ahead credit hours wise to where I was able to do it, but know that it is perfectly fine to retake a class and, you know, you're going to be more than capable of doing well in it when you retake it too. And I know I had a lot of stress on me the first semester, and by the time I was retaking it, I'd already taken organic chemistry, analytical chemistry, biochemistry, all that stuff. So it was, and then I ended up taking the DAT before then too. So it was not as difficult to go back through it a second time. So know that it is perfectly fine to retake classes.
And in retaking classes, one thing to remember is that just because you retake a course doesn't mean that it overshadows or drops the other one off transcript.
Yeah, mine was still on the transcript.
It still shows up, and ADSAS will require you to, or you'll, if you want to get into dental school, you have to honestly put that on your ADSAS application.
Mm-hmm, you do.
And show that you did fail or you did not achieve the grade that you wanted in the course and that you retook it. And just be prepared. There's nothing, kind of like you said there, how did you kind of address that when you interviewed? Did anybody ask you why you had it twice?
I don't think anyone ever asked me why I had it twice.
Yeah, they probably looked at it and were like, yeah, that's, I understand why you retook it. Mm-hmm. It's helpful to have kind of an idea of how to explain yourself. You know, if somebody is like, hey, why, you know, I noticed you failed this. Why did you, you know, like me, mm-hmm. I had several failed courses, particularly in my undergrad, and a lot of it, you know, they were liberal arts classes, which required a lot of writing, a lot of reading. It's like 500 pages a week of reading. It was brutal.
That's why we're dentists.
But yeah, I'm so thankful that we don't have a lot of writing in dental school. 20 page papers. Ugh. It was, but I did get asked that on my interviews. They said, hey, I noticed you failed a couple classes here and, you know, can you talk about that? And so, you know, I was able to talk with them about it. So just be prepared if you do have to retake a course that, you know, you do explain why you retook a course, and hopefully you do better when you retake it.
And that's what goes into the interview prep too, is seeing those perceived weaknesses in your application and being able to form an answer about them. And as long as you aren't lying about it, I mean, I feel like being pretty honest and saying why you struggled could help you. And, but then not just leaving it there, but spinning it into how it became a positive too. And, spinning it in a positive light. Yeah,
see the positive light in it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just focused on the negative, that's not going to bode well for you on interview day.
Exactly.
You want to be
you're trying able, to sell yourself.
So. You want to be able to look at something that happened in your life that you are probably not proud of and say, you know, I had this and I'm not proud of it, but I, you know, I took it again and I did this on it. And, you know, having the ability to learn from your challenges and learn from the things that may have tripped you up. That's huge. That shows resilience, which resilience in my D1 year and into my D2 year, resilience is something that you have to have,
and especially when you're working on a crown prep and you take out half the tooth.
Not speaking from experience.
No, not at all. You've done flawless crown preps.
The other thing that I wish I would have taken more advantage of is tutoring. I always kind of looked at tutoring as more of a time waste just a time suck, mm-hmm. you know, and just being like, oh my gosh, I already have my homework. I already have, you know, the stuff I've already committed to studying. Now I have to study with a tutor. Mm-hmm. But looking back, I wish I would have set aside some time to say, okay, I'm going to meet with somebody who has taken this course, probably taken this course mm-hmm. and who did well, and I'm going to learn from them how to do it mm-hmm. well. And that's something kind of going back to what we were talking about before is you're developing good relationships with schools, with the admissions committee or the, mm-hmm. the admissions teams, right? You're also developing a good relationship with your professor. And you're also developing good relationships with people who've kind of gone ahead of you, people who've taken the courses before, people who have probably have their face pounded in a few times by these courses. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like I can confidently sit down with somebody who may have failed a course or didn't perform as well as they wanted to and say to them, you know, I didn't perform well in this course either. Mm-hmm. I had to retake it. And you know what? I'm here to help you. And that's kind of mm-hmm. the goal is, you know, what can we offer to people and say, hey, you know, this is how we learned it. Mm-hmm. We're going to present it to you and you make the decision if it's useful to you or not. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, what you're going to do with people around you. You know, you see it on some student sites where students will reach out and they'll say, hey, you know, this is my GPA. This is my, these are the prereqs that I have. Would anybody give me some advice? And there's some helpful people. There's some not so helpful people, mm-hmm. but most of the time you get people who are like, hey, I was in the same boat or I was in a similar boat. Mm-hmm. This is kind of how I did my prereqs. This is how I handled it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm currently attending this school and this is how they look at prerequisites. So having somebody surround themselves with people who've gone before them and getting that feedback, getting that kind of knowledge of, hey, this is what's going to be required of you as far mm-hmm. as prerequisites go. And just in general, this is what's going to be required of you. Mm-hmm. That's very helpful. We really appreciate having people who've gone ahead, you know, people who've been practicing general dentistry for 30 some years, people who've been a periodontist for a number of years, people who've been in academics, sharing their experiences with us because mm-hmm. that helps us sit down and, you know, look at ourselves in the mirror and say, okay, what am I doing?
Exactly.
And that helps mm-hmm, because for sure. that's what they said is, you know, they had a time in their life when they sat down, looked in the mirror and said, what am I doing? Thankfully, most of them had somebody in their life that came alongside them and was like, hey, here's what you need to do. So I know we talked about grades. Mm-hmm. GPA is important. It's not the end all be all, mm-hmm. but it is important. Particularly in the prerequisites.
For sure. Yeah. I think that's one of the major things that was pointed out to me by someone who had been on the admissions committee for a long time at UNC when I was in between years applying. He had mentioned to me, you know, we want to see what your GPA is in these prereq classes. And that's reflective of a science, typically a science GPA is what they look at in the ATSAS, the application service will calculate that for you. But let's consider this perspective also. What if your GPA isn't that high? What if you're pushing a 3? Mm-hmm. Are you hopeless at that point for dental school, Matt? Or are there options out there to help better your academic resume to get into dental school?
Well, being that was me... that would be, yes, there are options. So the schools that I wanted to apply to have reached out to their admissions teams. Both of them said, hey, you can do a master's degree or you can do a post-bac. And again, for me, not having a STEM degree, or having kind of those science classes, being able to go into a master's program, I felt like was going to put me at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So doing a post-bac made more sense to me because I'd be doing undergraduate classes at an undergraduate level. But they were still the prerequisites for the school. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing that kind of, I still don't really know, the difference of this, but it kind of, it made me wonder, like, if I take a master's, does the master's like just supersede the prerequisites, mm-hmm. or do I still have to take the prerequisites and get the master's? Mm-hmm. And so I never really got an answer on that. I still don't really know, but that scared me. And I was like, I don't want to have a master's
drop 15, 20 grand on a master's
and then still have to take prerequisites. Yeah,
exactly.
So I was like, let me go ahead and just do a post-bac program and go from there. Mm-hmm. But yes, there are opportunities where you can go in, to another program even after you've graduated, mm-hmm. and go into that. That's actually a lot of my peers were, they had applied to med school, or some similar health program and either didn't get in the first time. And so they were going back to kind of beef up their application. So they were either retaking courses that they didn't do well in the first time, or they were taking more advanced health related courses, mm-hmm. like pharmacology, you know, stuff like that.
Gotcha. So for me, I also came from the perspective of my GPA wasn't the highest. I mean, it wasn't extremely low, but it wasn't like, compared to our classmates, I feel like I was probably on the lower end of the GPA spectrum there. And after meeting with someone from the admissions committee at UNC, after I didn't get in the first time, he had told me, look, your GPA is kind of low. And he said, your DAT is kind of low. He's like, your application kind of sucks. I think he was trying to say that in a nice way. But he realized that, or we came to the conclusion that if I didn't do well finishing out an undergrad, then I would have to, he would highly recommend that I do a master's program. They have them mm-hmm. at different schools. There's like a master's kinesiology program, master's of physiology, stuff like that is what schools typically encourage you to go into. And there's some risk involved in that that we'll hit on here a little bit later, but I was searching for these programs. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do one of these. But I thankfully didn't end up having to do that. Finished, got somehow by the grace of God, I got straight A's my last semester of undergrad. Those were the most A's I had seen in a long time. and the guy from the admissions committee had told me if I did well on the DAT, then it could probably make up for my little bit lower GPA. But that was one thing that he had recommended was those master's programs for people who had lower GPAs. But then again, there's also a little bit of a risk. So on this podcast, we want to give you information that we see as good information, but we also want to weigh the negatives of things that can also occur. And one of those is one of these masters of masters of kinesiology or physiology programs. And the risk that can be involved with those is, what if you don't get in with one of those two? How practical is using that master's degree and spending all that money on it for you?
What do you do if you don't get into dental school?
Exactly.
How do you leverage that?
Exactly. Yeah, that was a lot better put than what I said.
Well, and that leads us to understanding risk management. Mm-hmm. How are we going to, and this goes for the it's not a prerequisite, but the in recommended courses, mm-hmm. right? So I made a decision not to take calculus. I made a decision not to take microbio. Why? Because it didn't fit into my one-year program. It was not required by most of the school, well, by any of the schools that I applied to. Mm-hmm. The schools that I would like to have applied to that required it, I felt like I wasn't going to be the strongest applicant mm-hmm. at those schools anyway. Or if I was, I was going to have to move my family across the country to attend. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I didn't feel like the juice was worth the squeeze. I didn't yeah. feel like the effort was going to be worth the reward. And so that's kind of your point with, you know, do I pursue a master's degree? And then if I don't get in, what do I do with it? Mm-hmm. That was kind of a concern for me with my post-bac, is it's like, well, what if I don't get into dental school? Now mm-hmm. I've got this debt and 40 credit hours of STEM courses that I can't really use anywhere.
And I feel like a lot of it too comes down to how bad do you really want it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are you being forced to go into dental school?
Exactly.
Are you kind of doing it because that's what your family did? Are you doing it because someone you really looked up to did it and you just feel obligated to, mm-hmm. you know, are you doing it out of obligation or are you doing it because you really want to? Because that is going to, especially on the nights when you are just trying to crush the homework and just kind of grind through memorizing, you know, biochemistry,
the amino acids and
yeah,
such.
Memorize the amino acids and their structures. Is your motivation, whatever your motivation is it strong enough to keep you going? Mm-hmm.
And only you can decide really what
your motivation,
what the risks are for mm-hmm. certain things, or what, you know, what are the pros and cons of different things. And that is all determined by what your motivations are, right? So if you don't see yourself in any other career except dentistry and your GPA is low, shoot for that master's. Mm-hmm. But if you're just like kind of on the fence, I'd just encourage you to reevaluate your motivations and maybe experiment with something else too. And that's only for you to decide. You know, your family can't make that decision for you. Your mentor can't make that decision for you. We can't make that decision for you. A lot of these decisions come down to what you're motivated by, and not only you can determine that.
Yeah. What do you want to do? How do you want to carry out and achieve your goals? Mm-hmm. And if going to dental school is your goal, and I know I have a friend of mine who applied to dental school 4 times. And he got in on, I think it's the 5th time.
Wow.
And, I told him, I was like, dude, you have my respect because I don't think I would have had the resilience to keep applying.
No chance.
But the fact that he kept going and he kept hanging in there and doing, you know, doing the application process, doing the self-improvement year after mm-hmm. year, that speaks to his courage, his, you know, his ability to stick to what he knew he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what you need to determine when you're considering, any endeavor, specifically dental school, because it's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But these prerequisites, know what's going to be required of you. Is it worth it to you? What's your motivation behind doing these prerequisites, behind trying to get into dental school, behind developing these relationships? Because developing relationships is hard anyway.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have to develop a lot of relationships with a lot of people that you may not even like. Mm-hmm. You know, you may not like your professor, but guess what? They hold your GPA. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to do well in their class, or if they look at you and think that this person just, you know, sloughs off and doesn't, you know, take their work seriously or take the assignments that they give you seriously, then chances are they're probably not going to help you if you get sick and, you know, can't attend an exam or
exactly.
So building those relationships are key to helping you get a good grade. And building those good relationships with the admissions committees are going to help you understand what's required of you. And
it'll help you eventually be a good clinician too, because
you're going to be building relationships with your patients.
There. So might as well get a jump start on that now.
Or your team. Yeah,
exactly. Might as well get a jump start on it now, because your team later on and your patients will be very appreciative of it. If you know how to build relationships and show that you care about them and know how to meet goals together.
And Landon kind of called it out. I wasn't even thinking about talking about it, but knowing your goals and your motivations when you feel like it's just not worth it, that's when the goal is going to be the thing that kind of is your lifesaver. Because mm-hmm. there's been several times that even with this podcast, it's like, why put in the effort? Why sit down and try to put all this work together to, put this out there? And Landon and I were both like, well, if we could just relay to somebody, just one or two people, how, what we went through, what we learned, if they could benefit from that, it's all mm-hmm. worth it. For sure. So having a goal that you can say, what's going to make this worth it to me? Mm-hmm. Or why am I doing this thing? If you understand your why, then on the times where you're like, gosh, I hate these classes, I don't want to be a dentist, just throw it all to the wind. You can say, okay, this is why I'm choosing to mm-hmm. do this thing. And just have it on a piece of paper, have it on a little note card that you keep in your, in your notebook or something, just to remind you when you feel like just giving up that you have a goal and what is the reason why you're pursuing that goal.
You have been listening to The Smart Dental Student. The views, information, and opinions expressed during this recording are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent the organizations that the individuals are affiliated with. If you enjoyed the content of this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at Smart Dental Student or visit our website for more information at smartdentalstudent.com.